Blog Talk Radio.
Smith. I'm glad to be here. I haven't been here for about a month, maybe. It's been a while. Sorry about that. I've been meaning to get back to the show, and I've been so exhausted, I just haven't been able to do it. But I should be able to going forward for a while anyway, because I've got some time off. This is One Child to Be a Survivor to Another Restoration, and I'm the Alberta Ambassador for NASCA, NAASCA.org, and that's a great resource for people if you're looking for information. If you're a survivor of abuse, or if you're just interested in child abuse prevention, that's a great website to go to. A lot of great people, volunteers, are working hard to get the information out to the public and to help survivors. And so if you're in need of resources, that's the place to go. I would highly recommend it. And there's a lot of great people there doing great work. And I haven't been able to do much for them, but I think I'm going to, hopefully this year, should start being able to at least be more of a part of it. And yeah, I've been exhausted. As anybody who's been listening to my shows knows, that my husband just passed away last August 2018 from a 17-year illness with liver disease. And he was diagnosed terminally ill 17 years ago. And well, actually it's more than that now, but that's how long he lived with it from the time that we found out that he had it. And he was diagnosed 2 to 5 years to live, and he made it 17. So, but it was a lot of hard work, and you know, it wasn't a struggle for him to try to stay alive and to have a decent life. We had a great marriage, we had a great relationship, and so it's been hard. It's been very hard. I've been grieving and working, you know, trying not to be in denial about it, just kind of going day to day and taking care of myself the best as I better shape than I was before. I was actually, because of his, you know, he passed on, my health had gone down a little bit, and I knew that I had to get my health up a little bit. So I've been working on that. It's a slow process, because I can only do so much every day. So it's like, it's been incredibly hard. And as a survivor of abuse, you know, that's all there as well. So it's been very difficult. I find that I just haven't had the energy to do the shows. But like I said, I've got some time off here, so I'm going to be doing some. And I look forward to being here, actually. And I'm going to try to get back to my videos that I do for the biblical sort of biblical counseling studies that I do, which I find very healing for myself. So I'll be doing some of that, too. But we left off on the last show, if you listened to that. Thanks, everybody who's been tuning into my shows. I really appreciate it. I checked, and, you know, there's people tuning into the shows. I have no idea who you are, and I hope you're getting something out of them. I hope they're useful for you, and at least to be just a person who, you know, sadly enough, understands where we've been, you know, to have that validation, to have that just a bit of support and resources. I know that you know, for myself, I didn't start reaching out until I was much older, 42 years old. You know, now that's like 11 years ago because now I'm 53, and I'm still working on it. But I'm in such a better place than I ever was before. And so I'm so happy I started getting help. And that's why I do these shows, basically. It's also for me to make sure I stay on my healing journey. But I also do it because I'm hoping that if one person listens to this and realizes that you can't do it alone and you need to get some help no matter what it is, even if you just do anonymous help where you just go onto an anonymous website and you just don't even give your real name and, you know, talk to people who can at least validate where you've been, what you've been through, your pain, and at least, and maybe help you find some resources, right? And just to know that you're not alone. That's a big issue. So, because you're not. Sadly enough, there's a lot of us out here, and you just have to reach out. That's what I did. I started reaching out, and all these hands started reaching back to me, like, started reaching out to me. And I was like, oh, I should have done this a long time ago. See, I really had been carrying this burden for, you know, personally for so long that's just all I knew how to do. But then I started reaching out, and all these hands came reaching out to me, and I was like, oh, thank God, because, you know, finally make some steps in making good choices for myself and taking care of myself, making the right decisions for myself, so that I can have a good adult life, right? Can't change what happened in the past, but you can definitely change today. The way I feel about myself and the way I feel about life, and, you know, so this is why I'm doing these shows, basically, and you know, mainly for those reasons. And so hopefully, like I said, somebody's getting something out of it. But I do appreciate all of you who have been listening and tuning into the shows, and I hope that they're helpful. So if you want to listen to the last show, we're looking at boundaries. This is from Havoca, HAVOCA.org, Havoca. It's survivors information in their information for survivors tab, and it's under their boundaries. This part of it's personal boundaries, setting boundaries. This section that we're going to look at, I don't want to repeat what we went over last time. You can go back and listen to that if you want to, sort of slowly moving through this boundary section. It's kind of large, actually. The next section of this is called consequences, so boundaries, personal boundaries, consequences. So this person who's writing this, they don't give their name, but whoever wrote this article, it's a lengthy article. It's really, you know, some of it I agree with, some of it it's not really relevant to me, but it's just good to look at it anyway. Boundaries are huge issues, and I'm dealing with this all the time. Because as a survivor of abuse, my boundaries, I didn't have any boundaries. You know, people could do whatever they wanted to me when I was a child, and there was no way I could stop them, and there was no personal boundaries. So basically, as an adult, then I have to learn how to have these personal boundaries so that I don't get hurt. And, you know, you still get hurt, right? This is the sad thing. But it's interesting to see what they have to say. It says consequences, like they said here, I'm just quoting, you can read right from their page there. It is very important to set consequences that we are willing to enforce. If you are setting boundaries in a relationship and you are not yet at a point where you are ready to leave the relationship, then don't say that you will leave. This is, if, for instance, if you're in a relationship like a husband and wife or boyfriend, girlfriend, or partners, you know, any kind of relationship, friendships, even job situations, you know, co-worker situations, it kind of, you know, this type of thing. This is for adult survivors' information. Children have no choice, you know. I mean, there's not much you can do as a child when you're being abused, you know. You know, you can't to say, oh, well, if you keep hitting me or keep abusing me, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. You know, and children are not able to protect themselves. That's the issue. That's why they're being abused, right? This is absolutely pathetic, but it's the truth. So, you know, as an adult, then I have to learn that, yeah, I do have these boundaries that I need to set, what I will allow in my life, what I won't. I've actually got mine a little too rigid. Mine are set really rigid because I was abused so horrifically as a child, and raped and tortured and just trashed, really. So I have a real rigid set of boundaries set, which is kind of harsh because I make decisions based on those boundaries, and it's like, wow, you know, sometimes I do, you know, but I have to stand up, I have to abide by what I will and won't allow. And because I care about people, then I'm kind of like, sometimes if it's a friendship or something like that, you know, if by standing up for yourself isn't going to change anything, then you have to go. And I think this is kind of what, you know, they're saying. If you're not quite ready to leave the relationship, then don't say that you'll leave, right? You can say that you will start considering all of your options, including leaving, but do not state that you will do something that you are not ready yet to do. To set boundaries and not enforce them just gives the other person an excuse to continue the same old behavior. Most people don't care about their behavior. So this is good textbook kind of stuff. But when you're thinking about abusive people who are basically tromping on somebody's boundaries, generally they don't care, right? A lot of times narcissistic people, people with all kinds of sort of their own mental health issues that they haven't dealt with, you know, don't care that they're stomping on a person's boundaries. And so even if you say, you know, I'm going to set these rules and these boundaries, and if you don't abide by them, then I'm going to do this and that. Most of the time, I'd say 99.9% of the time, they don't care. And it doesn't change anything. So most of the time, survivors of abuse who are learning how to set up boundaries end up getting hurt, because it's obvious. Most people actually really don't care how they treat other people, right? So this is real textbook kind of stuff, and it sounds good on paper, right? It's a good article, and I'm not writing it down. I'm just saying that it's not really technically reality. I've never actually run into anybody that I've been able to reinforce or enforce my boundaries with, because people don't care how they treat people. That's just the truth of it. So this is sad, but that's reality, man. So I'm always prepared to leave. Like, well, you know, and I won't even put up a fight. I'm like, you know what? I have no use for people that will treat other people that way in any kind of derogatory way. So I'm kind of like, well, you know, I don't need to be around you. You don't need to be around me. Off I go. Right. But I'm so happy that I'm able to do that, because it's kind of like I have a good life, see, because I don't allow people to mistreat me. I'll give people a bit of time to see if they're going to, you know, even sort of think about changing the way that they're behaving around me or behaving towards me. But if it doesn't seem like it's going to work out, I'm like, see ya. Don't want to meet ya, and don't want to be around you. I don't allow abusive people in my life. And so, you know, it's kind of a lonely life, because I find that most people really don't care about anybody else but themselves. And that's basically the truth of it. So it's kind of a lonely life, but you know, it's okay. Because at the end of the day, I'm happy because I don't have any kind of toxic garbage going on in my life, which is great. Right? It's kind of the only way I can operate, because life is too short, you know, to be spending with people that continually hurt you or continually would hurt me or, you know, drag me down or make me feel bad about myself or whatever the issue is, right? Why would I want to be around them? Right? So they go on to say here, for instance, if these are something, you know, this is just, they're giving an example, whoever wrote this article, they said, if you verbally abuse me by calling me names, like whatever it is, right, I will confront you about your behavior and share my feelings. If you told somebody like that, if somebody was calling me names, let's just say, and I said, if you verbally abuse me and call me those names, I will confront you about it, about your behavior and share my feelings, more than likely, that person is not going to care. Because if they did, they wouldn't be calling me those names in the first place. So that's why this is kind of, it sounds good on paper, but in reality, it's not really a real life, right? It says, if you continue that behavior, I will leave the room, leave the house, ask you to leave. How well is that going to go over if the person is abusive? That's not going to go well at all. Especially if it's a woman who's the victim of the situation, of the, you know, undesirable behavior being, you know, directed at them, asking an abuser to leave. It can happen the other way around too. Women are abusers too. I've known lots of women abusers in my lifetime. My mother was my main abuser. My oldest sister abused her husband. And I've had several, many women bosses who were very abusive and kind of toxic, right? So women can be abusive too. And usually I just motor on and leave because I'm like, I can't bother dealing with him. It's like, no, you can keep your garbage. I'm going somewhere else where the sun is shining and people are happy. It's like, and I find it for a little while, and then you run into somebody else, and it's like, oh, well. But that's life, right? We all have to live with our own choices and consequences, right? But I don't know. Some of this stuff doesn't make sense to me because I could just, most people don't care. I've tried this stuff with my own toxic family, with my actual biological family that was left, you know, that wasn't murdered or committed suicide or whatever, died of drug overdose. And, you know, there's only a few of us left. And but I did set my boundaries. I did set boundaries with a couple of them. And, you know, they just basically told me to shove it up the old wazoo because they weren't interested in having a relationship with me that was doable anyway. They didn't care. So they weren't going to change their behavior. They're just being as rude and nasty as they had always been, and I cut them off. That's why I cut my entire family off, actually. And so the ones that are left, like I said, there's not that many, but all of them, I cut them all off because I'm like, you know, I'm too beyond your toxic garbage, you know? If we can, sit down and have a decent conversation and, you know, if I'm doing something wrong, you'll tell me and you'll let me know what I'm doing, and if it's hurting you, then you'll let me know, and then I'll apologize and I'll work on not doing that again. And I can, you know, good relationships work like that. I had a good relationship, 23 years of a really good marriage to a good man who I was able to sit down and talk with, and same with him. Like if I was doing something that was bothering him or hurting his feelings or whatever, he would, you know, we would talk it out, and he would tell me how he felt and what I was doing. And then I would change my behavior because I didn't want to hurt him. And he would do the same for me. And that's why it worked for 23 years. He was a really good man and just a wonderful husband. And he was the person who's ever treated me the best in my whole entire lifetime. Real love. And he's gone, you know. So, you know, that's life, right? It's not always good. And there's times when it's just hard, and there's times when it's dark, and there's times when it just doesn't work, you know. And those are the times where you have to really reinforce yourself with things that can help you get through, right, that are not derogatory and bad for your health, right? We're talking healthy things like healthy relationships, you know, or getting support from a support group or whatever it is, right? Sometimes life just doesn't work. It just doesn't work in our behalf or in our favor. And so, you know, but I tried some of this, you know, setting boundary stuff with my toxic, abusive siblings. And my dad was just out of the question because he was mentally ill before he passed away in 2016. I didn't see him for quite a few years, actually, because I cut them off. I cut all my family off. So I didn't see him at the end, but that's okay because I had no relationship with him that was healthy anyway, and he was very mentally, psychologically ill, so there wasn't any point trying to have any relationship with him whatsoever. But my siblings, two of them, you know, I wouldn't say that we hate each other. It's not a hatred. It's a, let's just stay away from each other because that way nobody gets hurt. We all keep our distance, and that way nobody ends up getting hurt. But that's just how, because that's how we grew up. You know, and we can't do even an adult relationship because of the abuse that we suffered as children. And that's sad, but that's true. So I'm sure that my brother loves me, and I'm sure that my sister loves me. They know that I love them. I'm sure they do. But we can't do anything together. We can't even talk, and we can't have any conversations. We can't write letters. We can have no contact because we will destroy each other because that's where we came from. It came from destruction. That's why I titled my website Born in Hell, if you want to go check it out. And that's because I laugh now, but that's just because the insanity of it was, it was just so incredibly horrible. Really, it's laughable in a way because it's like, I can't believe that my parents would set that up for us, but they did. And we're stuck with it. Right. So we, you know, this whole setting boundary stuff, what I did, you know, for me, as far as, you know, most of the time you can't tell people how you feel. Sometimes you can, and then that's great. It's like with my husband, I was able to do that. But not everybody's going to care that much, right? So, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work, right? You can try that. But sometimes people will be like, look, I don't care what you want and what your needs are, right? I'm going to just do what I'm going to do, like your lump it. So then what you have to do is decide what kind of people you'll allow in your life and how you want to be treated. Like me, I like to treat people with dignity and respect. And so that's how I want people to treat me. Just common decency, common dignity, common respect. And that's how I treat other people. So I expect that back. If I don't get it and I don't feel that it's resolvable, I leave immediately in this situation, whatever it is. Because I will not tolerate anyone who thinks that they're going to get one up on me as far as mistreating me. It's like, no, sorry, you'll have to mistreat somebody else, not me. Bye-bye, I'm going to go on and have a good life. That's exactly what I do. And the thing is for me, it's the way it has to be. Because life is too short, like I said. And I spent a lot of time being miserable and in a lot of real trauma, you know, as a child and in my youth. And then I spent a lot of times doing drugs just to sort of mask the pain when I was young. And then I got off the drugs and I spent a lot of time, would I say in denial? Maybe. I don't think it was really a denial that I thought that I intentionally was doing. I think I was just trying to live as a young adult. And then just realizing that I couldn't do it and almost imploding, right? So it's not an intentional thing, I think, that I did. But I just, you know, it's been so incredibly hard. I can't afford to go back there, you know, to allow people to mistreat me to the point where I'm back where I was before age 42, wanting to kill myself, right? Wanting to end my life, right? Because my parents were suicidal. Like I said, I grew up with suicide. Suicide was just part of my life and suicidal ideation. So it was just natural for me to think about that. And even today it is. So it's something I have to be aware, very aware of. My fight is that I'm not going to become my parents, right? That's my goal, is to be the exact opposite of my parents. Yay, to be nice and loving and caring and helpful and a good person, and not perfect, because there is nobody perfect on this earth, I tell you that, but somebody who genuinely cares about people and thinks about people and cares about the plight of other people, compassion and empathy in my heart towards other people, who are, especially people who are struggling, and, you know, realize that I'm not the only one struggling, you know. Try to lend a hand when I can, try to be a good person, try to be a good worker. Everything I do, I try to leave a lasting sort of impression, you know, that I really did put everything I had into whatever I'm doing, you know what I mean? And try to make a positive sort of, relationships, positive everything, you know. It's just my, that's just what I do. But that's because I'm just working and striving all the time to not become my parents, you know, to allow myself to just be like they were, you know what I mean, to just give up and to want to kill myself and hate this life and hate this world and hate myself, and which is what I was doing really until the age of 42. So, you know, it's my, now this is my fight to have a good life, see? And so as far as setting boundaries go, that's where it's all at. Like, what will I allow in my life? What I won't allow in my life? And I will not allow anybody to mistreat me. It doesn't mean that I'm going to get in their face and I'm going to yell at them and threaten them and say, well, you mistreated me, so now blah, blah, blah. You know, many times I just smile and leave. I'm like, bye-bye, you can just continue on digging the pit that you're going to fall into eventually one day when you get old and sick, you know, you'll be miserable. Me, I'm going to be happy, right? I'm going to go on and I'm going to be happy, and I'm going to, because I'm learning how to love myself and how to care about other people, how to care about life, and like I said, it's a big, big issue. And these are huge, huge things to think about. How do you want to spend the rest of your days, you know? And we have these choices that we got to make every day. And it's like, you know, are we going to allow people to mistreat us, or are we, you know, how are we going to deal with these things, right? And for me, since I don't want to hurt somebody else, I just leave. And then they don't get the benefit of my company, right? and they're probably okay with that. But the thing is later down the road, they won't be. After they're sitting around in their miserable pit, right, that they made and created for themselves. And I'll be moving on having a good time. That's the great thing about it. So it's kind of, you know, I win, right? I don't have to fight with people. And I don't have to get my way necessarily. And I don't have to, you know, what I do is I just make sure that I'm safe. People are not abusing me, and I'm not abusing anybody else, and I'm having a good time, and I'm enjoying my life, and that's where it's all at, you know. I'm also not a pushover, and I don't tolerate very much. That's the problem. I have very low tolerance for people being abusive towards me, so if I notice any kind of abusive behavior toward me at all, I start chalking it up, and it's like if it becomes an issue, I'm like, well, how am I going to deal with this? Is this person going to care if I confront them, or are they going to change if I confront them? Or because if they're not, what's the point? You're wasting your breath, man. You're wasting your time and your breath and your energy levels to confront somebody on that they're not going to change. If it's somebody who loves you, like let's say it's your soulmate, you know, your best friend, or you know, a family member who actually does love you. Then it's worth pursuing, I think, you know. But if it's somebody that doesn't care about you and isn't going to change anyway, there's no point. You're just wasting your time. So, but I guess I like what they're talking about. You can go through and read the rest of the article. We'll continue on looking at it. They said they go through a whole number of, like, little sort of what-if sort of situations, which really don't make any much sense to me, but they said, since behavior patterns are quite ingrained in all of us, it's important to allow the other person some wiggle room to make a change in the behavior, unless the behavior is really intolerable. So that's kind of where I was at. It's kind of like, I'll watch how somebody's treating me. And if it's you know, not that big of an issue, then I just let it go. But if it's a big issue, it hits me right between the eyes, and I'm like, you know what? No, that's not cool. So and then my reaction used to be one of a lot more assertive and aggressive. But now that I'm older, I'm like, you know, you don't deserve my company anyway. You just go on to your misery and I'll go and have a good time. Bye-bye. That's just how I am. And so I don't have a lot of people in my life. It's pretty quiet. But the thing is that's okay because I'm comfortable with myself. I'm comfortable. I'm learning how to be comfortable. I didn't used to be. I did a show on Spreaker. It's on my website. I put it on my website there if you want to go check it out on my Born in Hell website. All my audios, videos, and everything are there, and pretty much everything. And I did a show called Uncomfortable in My Skin because I didn't used to be this comfortable in my skin, in my own body, being who I am, me, you know. Like, I'm learning how to embrace myself and learning how to love myself for who I am, totally imperfect, and yet I do care. I genuinely care about situations, about people, and try to do the best I can to not hurt people along the way. And so I'm comfortable with myself, and I can sleep at night, whereas I think a lot of people, you know, sort of one day they're going to fall into the pit that they've dug for themselves, like I said. And you know, you can't really feel sorry for people like that because they don't have to be that way. Abusive people don't have to abuse. It's just like nobody has to abuse a child. They just choose to do that. So if somebody chooses to abuse me, they don't belong in my life. I'm like, goodbye. I've got no use for you. And so that's just me. But it works really well because I absolutely have zero tolerance for abuse, and it's great. So we got about a minute left. So we'll pick up where we left off here next Monday. I should be back around same time, 10 p.m. I should be back because I've got a little more energy now than I did when my husband passed away last August. I was exhausted, and I have a little bit more energy than I did for sure, and I'm a little healthier, so I should be able to maintain my shows here going forward, at least for a little while, unless I have to change the time. So what I say to you is you take it easy. You know, if you're struggling, like I say on all my shows, get help. reach out, call a crisis line, you know, do something, make the right decision, take care of yourself, do the right thing, you know? Like, you did not deserve to be abused. I did not deserve to be abused. I deserve to be treated with respect and dignity, and so do you. Take good care of yourself. Have a good night, everybody.